The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 8, Texts Number 19 and 20. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarsanda Sathikari, recorded on January 23rd, 2007, in Suva, Fiji.
So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 8, Questions by King Parikshit, Text Number 19, and also we'll read 20 because there's no purport for 19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tatvānaṁ parisaṅkhyānaṁ lakṣanam hetu lakṣanam purusharādhana vidhir yogasya yatmikashyacha. Translation. Kindly explain all about the elementary principles of creation, the number of such elementary principles, their causes, and their development, and also the process of devotional service and the method of mystic powers. Text 20. Yogeshvairashvaryagatir lingabhangastu yoginam vedopaveda dharmanam itihasa puranayoho. What are the opulences of the great mystics? And what is their ultimate realization? How does the perfect mystic become detached from the subtle astral body? What is the basic knowledge of the Vedic literatures, including the branches of history and the supplementary Puranas? Purport. The Yogeshwar, or the master of mystic powers, can exhibit 8 kinds of wonders of perfection by becoming smaller than the atom or lighter than a feather, getting anything and everything he desires, going anywhere and everywhere he likes, creating even a planet in the sky, etc. There are many Yogeshwaras having different proficiencies in these wonderful powers, and the topmost of all of them is Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the greatest yogi, and he can perform such wonderful things far beyond the ordinary living beings. The devotees of Allur, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, do not directly practice the process of mystic powers. But with the grace of Allur, his devotee can defeat even a great Yogeshwara like Durvasa Muni, who picked a quarrel with Maharaj Ambarish. He wanted to show the wonderful achievements of his mystic powers. Maharaj Ambarish was a pure devotee of the Lord. And thus, without any effort on his part, the Lord saved him from the wrath of Yogeshwara, Durvasa Muni. And the latter was obliged to beg pardon from the king. Similarly, at the time of Draupadi's precarious position, when she was attacked by the Kurus who wanted to see her naked in the open assembly of the royal order, the Lord saved her from being stripped by supplying an unlimited length of sari to cover her. And Draupadi knew nothing of mystic powers. Therefore, the devotees are also Yogeshwaras by the unlimited power of the Lord, just as a child is powerful by the strength of the parents. They do not try to protect themselves by any artificial means, but they are saved by the mercy of the parents. Maharaj Parikshit inquired from the learned Brahmana Shukadeva Goswami about the ultimate destination of such great mystics, or how they attain such extraordinary powers by their own efforts or by the grace of the Lord. He inquired also about their detachment from the subtle and gross material bodies. He inquired also about the purports of the Vedic knowledge, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15. The whole purport of all the Vedas is to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become a transcendental, loving servant of the Lord. Om Ajnati Murandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. So, it is a very nice thing. The devotee of the Lord cannot be lacking in anything. It is not possible. Even if he has not developed the Ashta Siddhis by severe penances, he is still as good or better than any mystic yogi. Because whenever there is need, Krishna protects him. Just as the child, he is not very powerful. But if there is any threat, immediately the parents are there to protect. So similarly, just as in the mystic opulences, even in ordinary opulences like money, for example, which is the mystic power that everybody is interested in nowadays, money, 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 sweeter than honey. If you are completely surrendered to Krishna, then whatever money you need, whenever you're in need of money, Krishna will supply. You see. Ananyas chintayantomam yejana paryapasate tesham nichavyuktanam yogachemam vahamyam. You see. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Whatever they have, I protect it, and whatever they are lacking, I provide it. So devotee of the Lord, he has supplied everything required by Krishna. Therefore, the success of human life is simply to fully surrender ourselves to Krishna. And then whatever Krishna wants. That doesn't mean that we sit idly and do nothing. You see, that Arjuna thinks, well, like Krishna will take care of everything on the battlefield, I will just sit down and meditate. No. The devotee is meant to do his duty, whatever duty is given by Krishna, or if Krishna is not personally present, whatever duty is given by the spiritual master. You see, that the devotee accepts in full faith that by being fully surrendered to Krishna, by being fully surrendered to my spiritual master, that everything is covered. And that's a fact. If we simply completely put ourselves in the hands of Guru and Krishna, then everything works perfectly. We won't have to be in any anxiety about anything. Everything will come. Everything needed will be there at every minute. And if it's not there, actually it is there. We're just thinking it's not there. Krishna is making the perfect arrangement for each and every one of us how to come back to home, back to Godhead. Everything we need to do that is supplied at every minute. We are never lacking. It is only our conception, because we have some other desire than going back to home, back to Godhead. We want those desires to be fulfilled. We should not expect Krishna to fulfill those desires. You see. Krishna is very merciful to his devotee by cutting away those desires. Prabhupada gives himself as an example. Of course, he was a pure devotee from birth, but he's using himself as example. That he was trying to make successful business. He was thinking if he becomes very wealthy, then that money can be used for spreading Krishna consciousness. So he was trying to build up his business, but the thing just completely collapsed. Krishna completely took his business away. And Prabhupada took that as Krishna's special kindness upon him. And now there's nothing left except for preaching Krishna consciousness. And by doing that, Prabhupada actually had more money than he ever had by trying to be a businessman. He actually had more money, you see. He had 108 temples all over the world, and so many motor vehicles, and so much money was flowing through the movement, much more than he had ever accumulated, even when his business was going in a very, very big way. So one doesn't actually lose anything by fully surrendering to Krishna. One gains everything. So, one may ask, well, what is the benefit of being surrendered to Krishna? We may take that for granted because we want to be Krishna conscious, but an outsider doesn't take that for granted. Why should one surrender to Krishna? Why not just try to enjoy our senses? You see, they could ask such questions. Well, the answer is that these senses, they give some satisfaction, there's no doubt. You can gratify the tongue, you can gratify the belly, you can gratify the genitals, you can gratify the bodily organs. But do you become satisfied by that gratification? Do you really become satisfied? There's a temporary sense of satisfaction, but it goes away very quickly. You see? And then, now where do I get my satisfaction? I gratified my senses as much as they wanted, but now I'm still not satisfied. You see? So we have to become very intelligent and understand that this body is not me. These senses are not me. If I want actual satisfaction, I have to find it somewhere else. I will not find it in the platform of the body. Those persons who consider that I'm male, I'm female, I'm Fijian, I'm Indian, I'm American, and who try to satisfy themselves on that platform, they have nothing but frustration. That's the result. There's some temporary, according to their karma, they will get some sense of happiness mixed in with all the distress. But ultimately the whole thing will fail. The body will give out with old age and disease and death. And there'll be nothing. So instead of trying to enjoy on the basis of the false bodily concept, we should understand I'm a pure spiritual being in quality, one with God. Right now I'm simply covered with these impurities of bodily consciousness, pride, envy, lust, anger, greed, etc. Wake up, wake up. This is important. You can sleep later on. Please wake up now. Sit up. Don't go over. And two, tama gun. This is a time for sattva gun and shuddha sattva gun by paying rapt attention to Srimad Bhagavatam. This is, I'm not doing this to lord it over you, I'm doing this to bless you, you see. That you will get the full potency of Bhagavatam to uplift your consciousness beyond all the suffering of material existence. That's why I'm trying and making sure you're paying attention. Thank you very much for perking up. So, the happiness and satisfaction that can be derived by plugging into the spiritual platform, that is unlimited. You see, who would? It's really a no-brainer. I mean, even an idiot could understand what's more valuable, $1 or $1 million. I mean, it would take an absolute, a complete animal to not be able to tell the difference. Would you like $1 million or $1? You see? An animal wouldn't know the difference. He would say, well, which one smells better? That's all. But a human being can understand. Here's $1 this side, $1 million here. Well, I'll take the million. It's 1,000,000 times better. You see? So only an animal would think that sense gratification is better than devotional service. Oh, it smells better. You see? But anyone who has a brain can understand what is the value of some temporary titillation of the senses, some cheap thrills of material existence, which is called preya, or immediate, something which is immediately satisfying. Why should I take that when I can get something which is unlimitedly satisfying? Because we are so rooted in bodily consciousness, we have a tendency to go towards that thing which is immediately satisfying and to reject that thing which is ultimately satisfying. I'll give you an example. When I was in high school, it was a city called Houston, Texas. Now, Houston, Texas is very, very hot and very, very humid. Especially in the warm months, it's unbearable, and it's a very, very air-conditioned city because of that. It's the first city that made an air-conditioned sports stadium, completely air-conditioned sports stadium, indoor baseball. So, when I was going to high school, in those days, the school district decided they would make, they wanted the students to be tough, so they didn't air-condition the school. And it was really, really austere near the end of the semester, the spring semester, as summer was approaching. So during those afternoon classes, especially fifth period physics class, was just unbearable. And we would hear outside some of our fellow students who decided to drop out of school and work at a gasoline station. They would buy a hot rod car, and they would come in during fifth period physics class. They would be out there on the street, going, you know, showing us their hot rod, and everyone hear how they're enjoying their senses. That, ha, 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 I'm out here enjoying my hot rod. Well, you're sitting in there suffering. They were just having great delight. You know, a thousand of us were sitting there suffering, and there's one guy out there in his hot rod enjoying like anything. You see. But 10 years later, where is the hot rodder? He's still working at the gas station. And the students who did the austerities of sitting in class, you know, went to college, they got a good job sitting in an air-conditioned office making a big fatty salary. And he's still working at the stupid gas station, just barely surviving, you see. So he got that immediate gratification during fifth period physics class, you know. Yeah, I'm great, I'm out here enjoying, and you're all in there suffering. But those students who knew, even it's austere now, but I'm doing this austerity so that in the future I can enjoy more, you see. So this is an example. Sense gratification is like getting that hot rod, you know, some sex, some, you know, eat anything you want, you know, Kentucky Fried, McDonald's, anything, you know, just whatever you want, put it in your tongue and have a good time chewing on it, you know. Enjoy. If you want some sex, yeah, go for it. Who cares? Licit. Yeah, just go for sex, you know. You see, there's some pleasure of the senses there. But you're stuck at that level. That's the problem. You're stuck at the level of the senses, which as you get older, get worn out, get dilapidated, and eventually just completely stop functioning altogether. So why be stuck at some 10th class, you know, enjoyment, which is very, very limited, when if you do some austerities of devotional service, give up illicit sex, give up meat eating, give up intoxication, give up gambling, and chant the holy names of the Lord, even though in the beginning it seems a little difficult sometimes, do it as an austerity. It's like when you go to medical school, was it always fun? You went to medical school? That was an austerity, wasn't it? All the pressure of the exams, you see. But then when you graduate from medical school, then you can earn a very good living compared to someone who never got an education. You see, it's the same principle. So, this is, instead of medical school, we are going to bhakti school. You see, this is bhakti school. We are doing the austerities of bhakti school. We're rising early in the morning to attend the class, to attend the arti, to chant the holy names. We're doing the austerities of attending Bhakti University, Prabhupada's Bhakti University, ISKCON, you see. And what is the result of attending the Bhakti University, ISKCON? The result is that you become qualified to become like Maharaj Ambarish, you see. Someone who can surpass even the most powerful mystic yogi, Yogeshwara Dharvasa Muni. You become more powerful than the most powerful mystic yogi, you see. So you do some penance and austerity to get that position, there's no doubt. But if you actually do the prescribed activities under the guidance of the spiritual master, you will surpass all of these persons in the material world. What to speak of ordinary karmi, like, you know, Bill Gates or President of the United States, you surpass these people in your position. You see, there is no greater position than to become the pure devotee of Krishna. That is the greatest position. Even Krishna sees that my pure devotee enjoys more than me. I do not want to be defeated, so therefore I will also become the pure devotee of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If God himself wants to be a devotee of God, you see, God who can enjoy anything he wants to, he's the supreme enjoyer. Nothing is off limits for him. He can enjoy anything. He's the owner. You see, whatever you're, by law, whatever you own, now you can enjoy. If you own the house, you can enjoy the house. But someone else cannot come and enjoy your house. That's criminal activity. You can only enjoy that which you own. But what does Krishna own? Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He owns everything. Therefore, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam. He can enjoy everything also. But that person who owns everything, that person who enjoys everything, what does he decide to do to increase his enjoyment unlimitedly? He decides, I will become a Hare Krishna devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You see? So actually the position of being a devotee of Krishna, that is the topmost enjoyable position within the totality of existence. There is no greater position of enjoyment. So when we beat you over the head and tell you you have to come to class, and you have to come for the programs in the temple as much as possible, don't think we're trying to punish you. Actually, we simply want to bless you and reward you with brahma-saukyam tvanantam, that happiness which goes on increasing unlimitedly forever. You see? That's all. It's just been discovered that you are the long-lost relative of a multi-trillionaire, and he has just given you blessed you with a cashier's check for $1 trillion. You see? And we've come to your door, we're knocking on the door, we're saying, my dear sir, I've come to give you something wonderful. And you say, go away, I'm taking rest right now. You see? Or go away, I'm watching television right now. You see? But my dear sir, I have something very wonderful for you. You know, go away, I have to get ready and go to work now. You see? How foolish. If he wouldn't even need to go to work if he just accepts the $1 trillion. You see? So we're giving something. The bona fide spiritual master comes and he gives you something more valuable than $10 trillion. $10 quadrillion. He gives you something more valuable and you say, no, I'm not interested. I have to sleep. You see? We have to wake up and realize there is nothing more valuable than the seed of Krishna Bhakti. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prishade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. That seed of bhakti which is planted in the heart by the spiritual master through the ears, from the mouth of the spiritual master, that seed of bhakti comes, it enters through the ears into your heart. And if you will take that seed which Guru Maharaj has planted in your heart, and if you will water that seed by regularly chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and by taking all the weeds out of the garden of your heart, namely illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling, then what will happen? That unlimitedly valuable seed of bhakti which Guru Maharaj has planted in your heart, it will fructify, it will sprout, it will penetrate through all the coverings of this material universe, it will travel through the vast spiritual sky and go all the way to the topmost planet, Goloka Vrindavan, and that devotional kripa will wrap itself, entwine itself around the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and at that point the most beautiful, succulent, delicious, wonderful, unbelievably tantalizing fruit of Krishna Prem will manifest, you see. Much better than one of these mangoes or papayas that are growing around Fiji. Millions of times better, you see, than that fruit. The Fiji fruit is nothing. Even the Fiji fruit is very wonderful, but it is nothing compared to the fruit of love of God. And the spiritual master, he is giving that seed into the heart of those who submissively hear and render service. You see, he gives the seed into the heart of those who hear submissively and render service. So there is nothing greater than Krishna consciousness. It is revolutionary. Kindly take this Krishna consciousness with the utmost seriousness, with the utmost determination, and with great enthusiasm, and with patience. And I can guarantee you, you will achieve the topmost perfection of pure Krishna prema in this very lifetime. I guarantee you. You simply take these instructions that we are giving you on behalf of Prabhupada, the wonderful instructions that Prabhupada is giving. I'm simply the messenger boy, the DHL man for Srila Prabhupada. If you will take these instructions that are coming from Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas, then I guarantee you, you will achieve the supreme perfection. You will see Krishna face to face. I guarantee them. So, is there anybody have a quick question? Looks like we. Anybody has any questions? You can talk to me after.
Very quickly. Yeah. Sadhu, the purified Ganges, the mundane people go and they pollute the area. The sadhu goes and takes bath, Ganges is purified. How can any devotee purify Ganges, already purified from Lord Vishnu's? That's what I
said. There is one Shastric statement that the Ganga was in great anxiety. I was in great anxiety that all these sinful people are going to keep dumping their sinful reactions in her, and it's a big burden for her. But then it was said that this great Saint Pati Bhakta, who was referring to Prabhupada, that his followers would come and bathe in the Ganga, and they would relieve the Ganga of this burden by their purity. There's a verse like that. So this is the great power of Srila Prabhupada, that he can create a whole army, a whole world full of people who are very pure in their devotion, which can actually help Ganga to deal with the sinful burden of all the karmis who bathe in here all the time. That's stated. I forget which shastra, but that's been given. It's published in various places. The Vyas Puja Amage book sometimes gives this description. Some devotees have found this in one of the authorized Shastric writings at this point. Did I answer your question? Yeah. All right, so we thank you all very much. Gantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Jai, Shri Prabhupada.